So when I was sitting down to write this sermon, I found myself recalling at times this past year when I was swinging between the big emotions and big questions and digging into my theological understanding of what and how our relationship with God is and what our calling is to share with others. This intentional study, while leaving with bigger questions that I'm slowly answering and finding the answer that God's given. So this has brought me, though, glimpses of reassurance and provided footholds and handholds while climbing the cliff that is seemingly never ending in front of us. And has allowed me to look above and below at those who might be facing their journey of scaling the cliff that is in front of them. Leading me to the latest question that is on my top 10 list to ask God when I get to heaven. There's more than 10. Now, before I tell you the question, I will say that it is one that we are all familiar with. It is one that especially those who are wrestling or found themselves wrestling at times in their lifetime of our understanding of God's presence in this world. Something that provokes us to re-examine and re-explore our relationship with God and can help us decipher our understanding of God's gifts for all the beloved. Gifts we re-explore at the beginning of each Advent in anticipation to Christ's arrival. So this leads me back to my top number one question that we wrestle with in times where evil is made visible and affects us directly. So the question, that top 10, is why is God allowing bad things to happen to good people? Like I said, this is my top 10 question when I get to heaven to ask God. So the other one is a lot easier one. It is how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? So what makes this first question so difficult to answer is simply because there is no clear-cut, simple answer. What we can say is that it is normal to ask this question, and that it's been asked by others, even the disciples, since the beginning of time. Therefore, it's not a new question. It has been asked in various ways through the ministries of the prophets, of judges, of royalty, and the lineage of Joseph and Mary, in their roots that have filtered down to the birth of Christ. This has also been asked throughout Christ's lifetime and his ministry, and the ministry of the disciples and the apostles. It is so deeply rooted to our relationship with Christ that in our deconstruction of the question, we will see the interwovenness with the Trinity working among creation, roots that we are so richly connected with. So to give the simple answer would be to say that we are in good company when we wrestle with the evil that touches our lives through others. It also impacts our experiences and leads us to reframe the question of why. Why does bad things happen to good people? To start gathering the information to not necessarily answer the question, but to build our faith and to experience peace and hold on to hope and eventually let joy come in to celebrate the lives of those impacted. We begin by looking outward of ourselves, setting our eyes back into Matthew's writings on the preparation taking place in the anticipation of Christ's arrival and ministry. Today, it reveals that God equips us all differently, leading us to ask, why would God do that? When we read the story of John the Baptist, we see that he had a unique role of a prophet, charged in speaking the prophecies from the beginning of God's promises and announcing one far greater than him is coming, and he is preparing the way for this fulfillment of the covenant between God and his people. We see by Matthew's writings that John was not the polished, perfectly presentable prophet of old. John becomes relentless because of his wildness, his uniqueness, and at times his questionable words. We see that he was set aside for a different route than others and be the voice in the wilderness. But that is how God is using him to prepare the way of Christ. And ultimately, bad things happen to him because of his role in God's kingdom. Perhaps at times he asked, why? Do I have a different calling than others? Why is God allowing evil to affect me? When we remove God allowing from this question, it opens new pathways to see John's voice, his lifestyle, and the calling that was radically different from the prophets from the past. Because God calls us to do the difficult things we know that God is choosing for us to do. And for him, because of the great things that John did for the kingdom of God. For us, our paths and our gifts and our voices are different. And that's because we were so beautifully and wonderfully made to fulfill God's call for us. We know that John was selected before conception, before the birth of the prophet who proclaimed Christ's coming. His message was so impactful that all four authors of the gospel accounts list this prophecy, the foretelling of God, and the fulfillment of the covenants between Abraham, Moses, and God. We can even remove the why of our question and even rewrite our question to ask, what do we know about God and about evil? We look to John's prophecy to see that he did not have simple explanations. He did not give direct answers, but encouraged those who listen to explore this new path being uncovered. We will see throughout this lectionary year that Christ fought against evil. We will see that God is loving and hates to see his people suffering. We'll see that Christ overcame evil and rose from the dead, paying the price for our sins that still live within this world. We can hold on to hope when this touches our lives, and we can have reassurance that Christ is walking beside us through all things. We can know that Christ is quietly walking beside us, with his arm braced around us when we cannot walk by ourselves, but giving us strength to persevere and glimpse the experiences of joy. We know that with each piece of God's promise, of God's love for us, of God's grace and forgiveness that is woven within us and around us and strengthening us in our ever-growing relationship with God. When we are bombarded with doubt of God's love, of God's presence in this world, we can counter that doubt by asking instead, what do we know about God's promises to us? And if it's too long to remember, then ask, what do I know of God? And then start with the promises found in our Advent candles, promises that are woven into our very fabric and guides us while we are searching, giving us voice for our doubts, to our questions that at times challenge us. Continue to walk forward in that growing faith that is always continually growing in us, and to give ourselves grace when we stumble, and stay surrounded by this beautiful community that loves you and walks beside you. Know that our questions can swing between the challenging and the complex to the simple and naturally accepting what is being presented and knowing that God is with us. And I encourage all of us to name the gifts inside of you that empower you to share God's love for all creation, to announce Christ's birth, to witness the prophecy of hope, and to experience the joy of Christ's arrival, and to shore up our faith when we take it back out into the world. And finally, to keep climbing even when there appears to be no footholds or handholds to cling to, because God is there extending a hand to help us climb the cliff. Amen.